Sports Podcast, your daily fix for everything from the world of sports on First Post.
Hello and welcome to Sports Podcast. Today is the 10th of July 2019. My name is Rakesh Sharma. Let's get to the news. The first semi-final of the 2019 World Cup between India and New Zealand remained incomplete due to rain showers and will resume on Wednesday. The notorious Manchester weather pushed the first semi-final of the World Cup to the reserve day after India's bowlers excelled to restrict New Zealand to a subpar 211 for 5 on Tuesday. Rain forced players off the field after 46.1 overs and as per ICC's playing conditions, the game will resume today from where it stopped. New Zealand won the toss and chose to bat but never seized the initiative. Martin Guptill fell early once again, which saw the Kiwi batsman retreat into a shell. They made just 27 runs and brought up the 100 only in the 29th over. Henry Nicholls made a sedate 18 from 51 balls, while skipper Kane Williamson made another half-century, albeit a slow one. His 67 from 95 balls helped drag New Zealand to a decent score as he scored a 75-run partnership with Ross Taylor. Williamson fell with the score on 134 in the 36th over, but Taylor anchored the innings to remain 67 not out as the play ended with the Kiwis on 211 for 5 in 46.1 overs. India's bowling was on target all through the innings, never allowing the batsmen to score freely. Jasprit Bumrah took 1 for 25 in 8 overs and Bhuvneshwar Kumar took 1 for 30 from 8.1 overs before rain stopped the match. Ravindra Jadeja also had a good day, taking 1 for 38 in 10 overs, while Hardik Pandya finished with 1 for 55 from his 10 overs. Resuming on Wednesday will certainly be advantages for a refreshed Indian team. Any advantage earned on the scheduled day will be carried through to the reserve day. If the match doesn't happen on Wednesday, then India will progress to the final by virtue of finishing on top of the league table. Seven-time champion Serena Williams is just two wins away from equaling Margaret Court's Grand Slam titles record of 24, but she wobbled several times in her Wimbledon quarterfinal against Alison Risk before winning 6-4, 4-6, 6-3 on Tuesday. The 37-year-old recorded her 97th success at Wimbledon to move second on the women's all-time list, but came under serious pressure from her fellow American. Risk converted all five of her break points, while Williams succeeded with just six of her 16 opportunities. However, Williams relied on her power to keep her in the match. In doing so, she managed to avoid the fate that befell world number one Ashley Barty at the hands of Risk on Monday. She said after her win, and I quote, "I'm glad that I was able to come through. She beat so many great players. She was really so close to taking the win today. It was really satisfying. I wouldn't have won that match a couple of weeks ago," end quote. Joining Serena Williams in the last four was Romania's former world number one, Simona Halep, who fought back from 4-1 down in the first set to beat China's Zhang Shuai 7-6, 6-1. For Halep, who, aside from Williams, was the only player in the quarterfinals to have won a Grand Slam taking the French Open last year, it is the second time at a Wimbledon semi-final. She said, and I quote, "I fought hard in the first set, even if I was down 4-1. I have energy, I feel fresh, I feel healthy, I feel confident when I step on the court," end quote. Serena will face off against unseeded Czech veteran Barbora Strikova. The 33-year-old has ousted four seeds on her run to the last four. Her previous best at a Grand Slam was the 2014 quarterfinal, also at Wimbledon, but she outplayed Britain's Johanna Konta once she extricated herself from a 4-1 deficit in the first set. Halep will play Elena Svitolina, the 8th seed, who came back from a breakdown in each set to beat Karolina Muchova 7-5, 6-4. It'll be the 24-year-old Ukrainian's first Grand Slam semi-final. Former world champion Mirabai Chanu led an Indian medal rush by notching up a gold on the opening day of the Commonwealth Weightlifting Championship on Tuesday. Mirabai lifted a total of 191 kilograms, that is 84 kg plus 107 kg, in the senior women's 49 kg event to win the gold medal in the Olympic qualifying event, the points from which will come in handy for the final rankings of the 2020 Tokyo Olympics. She last took part at the Asian Championship in Ningbo, China in April, where she lifted 199 kg to miss out on a medal by a whisker. In all, the Indian contingent won 13 medals, including 8 gold, 3 silver and 2 bronze medals in senior, junior and youth categories. Jilly Dalabahera clinched the first place on the podium with a lift of 154 kg, that is 70 plus 94, in the senior women's 45 kg event, which is not an Olympic weight category. In the senior women's 55 kg, Soroy Khaibam Bindyarani Devi and Matsa Santoshi won the gold and silver medals, respectively. Bindyarani lifted 78 kg to snatch the silver medal. Her effort of 105 kg fetched her a gold medal in clean and jerk, as well as the overall gold. In the senior men's 55 kg category, Rishikant Singh grabbed the gold with a total lift of 235 kilograms. The qualification process for the 2020 Olympics is based on performances of the weightlifters in six events over a period of 18 months, at which the four best results logged by a lifter will be considered. Despite protests by football clubs on Monday, the All India Football Federation on Tuesday decided to recommend the winners of Indian Super League to play in the AFC Champions League qualifiers, virtually according to the ISL, the status of the country's top-tier competition. The executive committee of the AIFF will recommend the Asian Football Confederation to positively consider its request to grant ISL's winning team the ACL qualifier slot. The winning team of the I-League, the official top-tier competition so far, has been playing in the qualifying round of the ACL, that is Asia's top-tier club competition. I-League 2017-2018 champions Minerva Punjab FC played in the ACL qualifying round this year. Usually, the slots of continental top-tier competition across the world are given to the clubs playing in the national top division leagues. Under the entry manual for AFC club competitions for 2017-2020, ACL slots are distributed among teams of the member countries of Asia, which play in their respective national top division league. An AIFF statement said, and I quote, "In the light of master rights agreement, as well as the fact that in the last 5 years, the entire national squad are mostly being signed or playing for ISL clubs, and TV viewership and in-stadia audience having grown far more substantially vis-a-vis I-League and ISL clubs complying with the entire AFC club licensing criteria, including strong grassroots and youth development programs, which had also been certified by AFC, the AIFF Executive Committee recommends to the AFC to positively consider the request." Unquote. The MRA mentioned above was signed in 2010 between the AIFF and Football Sports Development Limited, which runs ISL. FSDL is a subsidiary of AIFF's commercial partners, IMG Reliance. In a meeting with these six I-League clubs on the 3rd of July, AIFF President Praful Patel had said he will approach the AFC to ensure that the status quo remains and both the league continue to coexist for another 2 to 3 years. On Tuesday, reacting to the AIFF's decision to recommend ISL for the ACL slot, Minerva owner Ranjit Bajaj said that the clubs will go to court. Meanwhile, the AIFF appeared to be giving some room for negotiation, as it said it would request the AFC to send a delegation to India to discuss this crisis. That said, PTI reported that the AIFF was not happy with the way things panned out after the 3rd July meeting, especially with the clubs writing to the Prime Minister. News from the Tour de France now. Italy's Elia Viviani was too fast for any of the other top riders in a classic 70 km/h bunch sprint at the end of the fourth stage of the Tour de France in Nancy on Tuesday. Viviani edged out Alexander Kristoff and Caleb Ewan, who were second and third on a 1.5 kilometer home stretch. He won the dash for the line after he was led out by teammate Julian Alaphilippe, the overall race leader and first Frenchman to don the leader's yellow jersey in 5 years. After the end of the day's proceedings, he said, and I quote, "It's all for one and one for all in this team. You need to defend each other, and friendship goes a long way in this sport," unquote. Slovak Peter Sagan retained the lead in the point standings, even though he faded to fourth in a photo finish with rookie Australian Ewan. Meanwhile, defending champion Geraint Thomas had a quiet day as he, co-captain Egan Bernal and their Ineos teammates all finished in the pack. Thomas, who had a scare during stage one when he flew over barriers but avoided injuries, said, and I quote, "On the descent with 10 kilometers to go, I didn't dare look at my Garmin, that is the speedometer. I was just looking in front, making sure I stayed upright," unquote. Another rider creating quite a buzz at the tour is Belgian debutant Wout van Aert, who headed the Jumbo Visma team with another show of cool power on a stage raced across open plains. While a nervy Richie Port was seen shouting at a TV motorbike that had strayed too close on Tuesday, Van Aert, in the same situation, offered the cameraman his water bidon on what was a sunny afternoon.
Spotcast, your daily fix for everything from the world of sports on First Post.